All right. Okay. We're back, a little delayed. Mostly my fault, I'd say. It's been a week. I'm sorry, everybody. I know you've been waiting on the edge of your seat for our next episode in The Thrilling Life of Dazzler.
Well, hey, it's back to the normal series. So
that's it is back to the normal series, so that's good. Before we start, did I tell you about the woman that I needed to explain discrimination to at Target?
No.
Good Lord. She was berating an employee about how she was being discriminated against because they had an online sale that they would not honor in store. This was a middle-aged white lady, and she's not good with computers, apparently. So she was talking about how she was being discriminated against. And I needed to step in and explain that's not what discrimination is at all.
See, that's something I would expect from one of the old, not necessarily someone middle-aged. Because, I mean, middle-aged now, you're thinking about someone that's maybe just 10, 15 years older than us.
Yeah. She might have been like 50s.
You'd think they'd know better.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I was like, no, ma'am, you deciding not to learn computers is not Target discriminating against you. That is not an inborn trait that you cannot change.
It's like someone driving saying that, oh, this is discrimination, this sign. How am I supposed to know what this red octagon means?
Yeah, it has four squiggles on it, and I don't know what it says. That's discrimination against the illiterate.
This is bullshit. Yeah, no, don't worry.
I was just like, I can't handle this lady berating an employee for, being discriminated against for being bad with computers.
It was probably someone young too. That's just like, why is this lady my mom's age freaking out at me?
What is going on?
Don't know what's happening.
It was entertaining. It was a weird experience having, a 30-something white guy explain discrimination.
First world problems.
Oh, seriously.
Special.
It was unbelievable. Anyway, with that out of the way, let's talk about our friend Dazzler.
This is the Almost an X-Men podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Jim Nance, or maybe I'm RJ. Doesn't matter.
And I'm Matt, and we are back with issue 35 of Dazzler, and what is sadly our last Bill Sienkiewicz cover, I believe.
Yeah, it's a good one too. It's one that got me excited.
He does some pretty covers. I will say this cover does not really represent the issue.
Oh no, I mean it does a little bit because you got the roller derby team in there, but they look nothing like the roller derby team that you get.
And also, they're doing roller derby.
Yeah, I was a little let down too because I was like, you look at the cover, you think, oh, what, man, Dazzler gets a new job with the roller derby team?
No, I was so hyped. I was like, oh, yeah, Allie's doing roller derby. Let's do this. This is going to be fun.
Not quite. Still but fun, instead, but not as fun. Not it's, as
it's,
fun as it could
It's a
been.
Very slight issue, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Well, let's start. The issue is called Brawl. And we are back to our good friend, Jim Shooter. Man, I never thought I'd be hoping for Jim Shooter as a writer until I read Beauty and the Beast. And then I was like, oh, we're back to Jim Shooter. I'm in my happy place. We got Jim Shooter. We got Frank Springer on pencils. Vince Coletta on inks. Janice Chang is back on letterer. She is a Dazzler stalwart. And Petra Scotese as our colorist, who I believe did Beauty and the Beast, but the colors were not really the problem on Beauty and the Beast, so I'm fine with her being a holdover.
Yeah. I mean, one thing about this one, if you remember back, was it issue 30 or 31, right about there, where we were promised an all-girl brawl issue in the next one, and then it was the Inhuman issue. I think this was supposed to be that.
But maybe
somehow they moved the scripts around because it seemed like this was supposed to be that.
You might be right. And if that was the case, they definitely did some editing to the script because they reference Dazzler the movie. Mm-hmm. And this is our first issue of the Dazzler series since Dazzler the movie. So like they definitely did some script rewrites if that's the case.
Yeah, that was just my hunch. Because, like you mentioned, it does clearly pick up after dazzle the movie.
It does.
And
And
I think
no
Beauty.
references to Beauty and the Beast. It's
Yeah.
so nebulous where that takes place in the timeline.
Yeah, it's unclear because we also get a very. This is the Dazzler that I remember. I'm sure you remember. I'm sure other people who have read this will remember because it's very much her, like a return to her character.
Oh yeah, it's a much better Dazzler than we got. Honestly, even in the Jim Shooter written Dazzler the movie, this is almost a Danny Fingeroff Dazzler.
Yeah, she's no longer a shell of herself.
No. She's a character again, which is nice. And we open with her coming back to her apartment from, I don't know, either the luxury house Roman Nakobo bought her, or Roman Nakobo's house, or the Heartbreak Hotel. It's unclear where she's coming from, but she hasn't been home for a while. And I was shocked that she was still paying the rent on this apartment this
Yeah,
whole time.
I was wondering, how long has she been gone? Because it's been almost like it's been the equivalent of like 8 issues since we last saw her. Because
At
Dazzle the movie was
least.
pretty long, and then Beauty and the Beast was 4 parts. So she's been away for quite some time, it feels like.
And I will say, she did no tidying up before she left. The trash can is overflowing.
This place has to reek
Yeah.
because
Oh, it's got to look awful.
she's got just like open boxes open. Like, I guess one's supposed to be cereal, or is that like a pretzel?
It looks like a pretzel. I don't know. She's got a knife in some peanut butter.
Yeah, some jar or something. So that's gross.
She couldn't even shut that one drawer.
Yeah. She's a gross girl.
She's a
Not
pig.
your stereotypical girl at all. Not very neat and tidy. No,
No,
just
no.
wow.
Dazzler comes in. She's lamenting to herself about being home, being back from Roman Nakobo. Does not mention Beauty and the Beast once, ever, honestly.
And immediately bags on her apartment. So you know,
Yep.
it's like, okay, back to normal.
Back to Dazzler. I will say, I think the only reference to Beauty and the Beast in for the entire series is in the final issue of the series. We'll see. We'll see if it comes back before then.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yep. It's actually a solid reference because, spoiler alert, the series gets good for like the last 5 issues.
Yeah.
But she comes home, she dumps her stuff on the bed, and she needs to have a little girl talk, so she calls up Storm, who is not home.
Does Storm live in the attic of the
Storm
X-Mansion?
does live in the attic. She actually does.
Okay, because like I understand that she's usually like an older member, or like depicted as faculty, but she also has a Spartan bedroom. There's really not much in there at
Yeah,
all.
that's a bad depiction of her bedroom. She does live in the attic, but she likes the skylights for plants and has like a big garden in the attic.
Yeah.
And she also likes to be able to fly in and out of the skylights. It's not like she's forced to the attic. It's
Yeah,
very
I like that. I
strategic.
like that. That's cool. I like
Yeah.
that.
Yeah. It's totally in her character, but she does actually live in the attic.
Yeah, this depiction, they cut corners and they make her look almost like, well, by proxy, just like the old kid who like won't move out of the house. Like they're trying to get her to move out. So like, here's the attic. Just,
Yeah,
you know,
it's weird the way
get
they
your own
do
place
it.
eventually.
It's a terrible image of her bedroom because it's usually like a really nice finished attic with like this lush garden that she's created with her own weather systems. But yeah, she does live in the attic.
Yeah.
But Storm's not home. I didn't actually look up the timeline of this. This might be right around Fall of the Mutants, which would explain where she is. It's probably honestly around Fall of the Mutants. So that's where Storm is. She's, in Dallas, I guess, battling the adversary. If you're watching, what's it called? X-Men 97, the adversary's there. He was introduced in that weird two-part episode where one half is a fun video game and the other half is very serious issue life death.
Yeah, it's yeah, that was a trip. I liked it.
Have you watched the new one?
I haven't watched the latest two yet. I'm probably gonna watch those tonight. So the one where I picked where I've left off, spoiler for everybody, is the one where Cable take I mean not a Cable, Bishop takes baby Cable into the future.
Oh, you haven't watched Life Death yet. That's not really a spoiler. That's what the next episode you're going to watch is like cut in two. It's not two A plots. It's like one plot is 15 minutes and then the next plot is 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. That's fun.
Yeah. The newest episode is fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll talk after you watch it.
Yeah.
It's the Genosha one for anybody listening. It is phenomenal.
Yeah, anytime they go to Genosha. Well,
It's
I guess the old version is just kind of like meh, but
I'm not going to say anything. It's very, very good. Anyway, moving on. Storm's not home, so Dazzler decides to just take out an audio cassette and record a message that she was going to send to Storm.
this is charming. I didn't see this coming at all.
No, because it's weird.
The audio journal thing.
The audio
Bizarre.
journal is so odd.
I didn't know they did this in the 80s.
I didn't either.
I mean, I know that like I've seen pompous businessmen do this, like in the airport, take like audio notes of
Note to
themselves.
self.
Yeah, it's goofy crap
Not
like
like a 15-minute dictation of their life for the past month.
yeah, I'm too lazy to pick up a pen and just jot down a note, so I'm going to talk into my phone.
So, yeah, that's one way to do exposition, I guess, and catch readers up. So she basically sits down, pulls out a microphone, and narrates the plot of Dazzler the movie.
Was that a little continuity error there when she was in front of the big jumbo jets? She has long hair. I thought she had short hair at this time.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that was a continuity problem.
Just a little thing. I mean, not a
Just a little
big deal, just
one.
a little thing.
We don't need to recap the whole Dazzler the movie plot. We did three episodes on it. That's enough. There is one thing I would like to recap here, though. And it's when she says to Storm in a recording, Roman said that if the movie were a blockbuster, it'd turn things around. He'd be hailed as a visionary, and I'd be like a Jackie Robinson.
Again,
She brings it up again.
again with the Jackie Robinson.
Jim Shooter would not let this die. Like, he was convinced that he was creating the next Jackie Robinson in this pretty white lady.
Lissai.
It's so weird. It's so odd. So, Dazzler finishes recording her message for Storm, and then conveniently, as soon as she's done, she hears intruders.
She sees a pair of beige legs and
Who could it be?
shines a light to see who's in her apartment. Oh, it's none other than the bigot tenants that she rents from, or the
The
Bennett
McCorkles.
landlords.
It's Mr. and Mrs. McCorkle. We've got confirmation now that they are married, but she calls him Pa. I don't like any of that.
Yeah, that's weird.
I like none of that, but they are bigots.
That's an
We remember
interesting.
when she rented, they do not like mutants, but
Pa's got a pipe, and his wife
Mrs. McCorkle has like
sort of
one of those
bat.
bats you get at a souvenir at a baseball game, like a children's little toy.
Not quite a not an actual bat, looks
No.
like.
And she holds it by the middle, which is an odd choice. You know how you hold your bat by the middle part?
How
Right
you
dead center.
the way that works, the way that good old Henry Aaron and Jackie Robinson used their bats.
Choke up on it real far.
Yeah. God.
And they explain, Dazzler goes, hey, what are you doing here? I know I'm late on the rent, but I promise I'll pay it. And they said, hey, but we're bigots and now we know you're a mutant, remember? Like, I don't understand why you're surprised by any of this. We were out and out bigots directly to your face, and now you're a public mutant and you haven't paid the rent. Please get out of our apartment.
Yeah, they flat out tell her they don't want it. They came to make her go away. This is another little lesson for you out there, kids. When you first look at these two, Miss McCorkle and Pa, you wouldn't really think that they're bigots. They don't really look the type.
No, they just look like people that might be father and daughter or husband and wife.
Miss McCorkle is there with a bright red turtleneck and a gray skirt. She looks like she just got off work.
Yeah.
Same with Pa.
Same with Pa.
Pa looks like, he's wearing a dress vest. He's not sloppy. He's not
Oh,
unkempt.
no, not at all.
He's just your average balding dude with piercing blue eyes. And they turn around pretty quickly
So fast.
in a way that was kind of charming,
But
where,
also just sloppy writing in a way that people don't do.
because like Dazzler barely explains herself, and then they're like, well, okay, maybe you can stay. You don't seem that bad.
Well, I do love that they're like, we're bigots and you have to leave. And she's like, all right, Mrs. McCorkle, no hard feelings. And they're like, oh, no hard feelings. Well, maybe you can stay.
Yeah,
It's very
bizarre. It's like
confusing.
they wanted her to attack so that they had a reason to get her to leave, but it's like, oh, she's not giving us the satisfaction.
It's
Okay, you got to give us the rent by Friday.
and she's like, okay, I'll figure it out. And they're like, great, okay, we're not bigots anymore.
Such a swing. I think they may have run out of space, maybe, in the script.
It's so weird, though. It's so weird. If you didn't have the space for this, just don't include it all. No one remembered the McCorkles. We don't need this 2 pages. It's so weird.
Yeah. And then we get right back to the status quo. Dazzler flipping through the classified ads.
Yeah, we just needed the urgency of Dazzler internal monologue going, oh, I'm late on my rent. I need to find a job. And that's it. We didn't need 2 pages of the McCorkles to sell the urgency.
They could have used that full page to show her getting dressed and undressed.
It
I mean,
and
my
the
goodness,
and
where are you
now
putting
all
her?
we get is her putting on stockings. Come
Yeah.
on.
Yeah. Boo.
And the biggest belt I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, that belt. Good God. I mean, I remember I guess sometimes I do see women wearing like real big belts, like right around the midsection, but it's been a minute since I've
This
seen like
is
this.
a
This is a
lot, though.
this one is incredible. This
It's
one
a
is,
lot.
yeah, it's like full midsection. I mean, it kind of encumbers her movement, because like
Oh, it must.
it looks like when she's bending over to look for I guess some change for the bus, she can't quite bend over all the way
Nope. No,
because
she's stuck.
it's like a back brace. That's
It's unbelievable.
what it looks like. It looks like a back brace.
But she's got no money for the bus, but she remembers. She remembers her clip-on roller skates.
Yay!
And we're back to the basics. We got Allie skating through LA looking for a job.
High heel roller skates.
Love it. Absolutely perfect. She goes in job after job. We get a whole montage of people kicking her out because they don't want to employ mutants. Everyone's racist.
Everyone recognizes her, surprise.
Everyone recognizes her. Well, she did just make a big show at LAX.
Yeah. Yeah, oh
It's
yeah.
still.
She is she did
It's
yeah,
still
she
fresh on the
hasn't
news.
left
I don't think
LA.
they recognize her from her New York lounge act days.
Yeah, she has not left LA.
No. We finally get one longer scene of her going to a bar and asking for a job, and the bartender chasing her out with a crowbar he pulled off the wall that was hanging there.
Yeah, this guy is special. Heard
I
on
don't.
TV about you. TEEVEE.
TV.
This guy is hard enunciating the television.
I just love that he's got a crowbar hanging on the wall on the outside of the bar, like he's just waiting for people to take their chance on him.
Is that like next to his raincoat?
It looks like it.
Maybe that's how he just goes out in the rain. He doesn't use a umbrella. Maybe he thinks he's always going to get mugged, so he goes
He's
out. No,
got his
maybe he's
raincoat, got my crowbar.
maybe he heard about the Wrecking Crew, and
I hope so.
maybe that's why he goes out with a crowbar in the
I
rain.
hope that's it.
He's like, maybe I'll get struck by an enchanted lightning bolt,
I very much hope that's it.
and I'll get powers. But I don't know.
So,
This guy's weird, yeah.
this guy's weird. Allie fights back, and all of a sudden, their hands get massive. Massive as she disintegrates the crowbar using light. You know how light disintegrates stuff, like solid metal?
Yeah, she's gotten pretty versatile with her abilities over the
I want to
years.
be clear, it's not radiation, it's light.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if she can do laser beams, she learned how to do
Disintegration race?
yeah.
She
But yeah.
disintegrates the crowbar and storms out.
Yeah. I mean, he follows her out into the alley with the crowbar, and yeah, like you mentioned, she just has enough. I
Yeah.
think she grabs it out of his hand, right?
She
Yeah.
does grab it out of his hand, disintegrates it. But look in the panel where she grabs it. Look at his hand.
Yeah, both of them have some Meaty paws there.
Meaty. It's so big. Their hands are the size of their heads. It's unbelievable.
Gotta draw the eye. Draw the eye to those big meaty paws.
It's unbelievable. But she shows that mutants don't all resort to violence and just leaves him cowering in the alley.
I do love that he says, "Don't hurt me," as she's already like 15, 20 feet
I
away,
know. I
back
know.
turned. He's still just cowering. It's like, hey, come on, buddy. Come on.
So apparently, hours later, she's just been walking the streets of LA at this point.
She's been around out because it's like it's nighttime now. And I
It's
mean,
nighttime.
she
It
must have
says,
started in the
yep.
morning.
And she finds a bar called Femmes.
Mwah.
Oh
Mwah.
my. Perfect. Thanks, Jim Shooter.
Mwah. See, currently that could have been a different kind of bar, but
I thought it was.
I
It
guess in
just
the
says,
80s they couldn't really say, this is a gay bar.
yeah. Or I thought it was a strip club because it says girls on it real big.
Oh yeah, that's what came to my mind first. But then when she walked in and it's like, oh hey, it's a bar full of all women.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. It's a lesbian bar for sure. But
Yeah.
also, I don't know if it was because it was Jim Shooter who declared there are no gay people in the Marvel Universe and is clearly very homophobic.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it's just his fantasy bar of like a lot of hot women sitting around getting drunk.
Oh yeah, 'cause this was one of his, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I, because of the homophobia of Jim Shooter, I don't think this is a lesbian bar. It should be. It
That's
makes way
right.
more sense if it is.
Yeah, that's what I thought that's what I thought it was meant to be, but they
No, I
were like,
think it's.
no, we can't do that 'cause it's the 80s in Marvel and we don't want to be, inclusive yet, or we don't want to be that risque yet.
No. I think it's just immature male fantasy bar.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
Yeah, I think that's all it is. And the
Yeah,
person at the door, she's greeted by clearly Rachel Summers, which is confusing. But it's not actually Rachel Summers, but it definitely is Rachel Summers.
I was thinking like she's got kind of like a little bit like a almost a vampire-y vibe to
Yeah,
her.
it's Rachel Summers wearing a Dracula cape.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
It's super weird. She's just told to go in the back, and the woman in back is just like, okay, go waitress.
No questions asked. Quickest interview ever. You want a job? Okay, you got it. Going back, get undressed, get in the new duds.
And then
Hey,
Frank Springer gets to draw the Frank Springer fantasy page, a woman's
hooray.
locker room.
And we meet one of my favorite characters since we started this, Barb.
You mean who calls herself Spoon Size?
I love spoon size.
I want to be very clear. She's 5'1". It's not like she's like freakishly short or anything.
Yeah, she's just short,
She's
and
short.
you find out later, she's a very sweet girl.
She's very sweet, very insecure about her height in the way that she's always talking about it, but like trying to take ownership of it, but she's always talking about it.
Yeah, kind of playing it off like it doesn't bother her, but you can tell it kind of, she wishes she was a little bit taller.
Oh, definitely. But yeah, so they get dressed in their waitress get up, which is, some fishnets and a short dress.
It's just the foxiest va-va-voom looking outfits for the time and for this not to be a lesbian bar.
which is definitely what waitresses should wear at this all straight woman's bar, right?
It's yeah, I think, yeah, for as homophobic as Jim may be, it's like, are you sure, Jim?
It's so weird. This whole thing is so weird.
You're kind of going against what you're fighting against. What's this
Yeah.
about?
Oh, it's bizarre. So yeah, Allie starts taking some orders. She waitresses a few tables. Everything's going fine. Then the band comes on. Janet Jackson and the Steel Tuna.
Yeah.
Also, I should point out Janet Jackson looks more like Joan Jett than Janet Jackson here.
I was looking at her, I was like, why not like mix the two names? Why do you go straight to Jan Jackson? Why not
I don't
Joan
know.
Jackson? I mean, you clearly want to play with both of them. So you got the looks of one. Why not just
Looks like Joan Jett. I don't know why the band is called the Steel Tuna. If that's an 80s reference, I just don't get. But I don't know. But Allie is captivated by them. She loves their sound as they're playing.
Super jealous.
And
Super jealous.
as the band plays, this rowdy group of women comes down the stairs, which is weird because I thought it was just a street level entrance.
Yeah, the name of this team, the Racine Ramjets.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Is Racine in, is that like a, no, it's not part of Los Angeles, is it? Because I think they're like a visiting team.
Yeah, I
It
don't know.
seems like.
I don't know, but they immediately suck.
Yeah, they basically, or they bum rush a table.
Oh
They
yeah,
there's
they
a party
throw
there.
everybody off this table.
Yeah, there's a party there. They kick them off. One of them just flat out takes one of the women's drinks, chugs it. They are a rowdy bunch. I kind of like them. One of them has a cast and is holding two champagne bottles.
I mean, look, they're kind of fun, but you have to admit they suck.
Yeah, they're pretty, they're weak. They're lame.
They're loud, they're rowdy, they're clearly already drunk. If you were in this bar trying to have fun,
Oh,
you'd
I
be
would hate it.
so annoyed.
I would hate it. But as an
Yeah.
onlooker, I like that they're stirring up.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun for story, but man, they suck. So Allie takes their order, and but she's really listening to the band, so she's not really paying attention. And she gets their order wrong, and they get immediately physical.
Yeah, one woman immediately spews out the brews or the beer and proceeds to dump it on Allison's head.
Had you
It's
ever heard of
Allison's.
a Cutty Sark before, or a Vat 69, or any of these drinks? I looked them up. They are real drinks.
I'd never heard of any of them. I assume they were all just kind of made up. It
No,
looked.
I've done my fair share of going to bars and stuff, but I've never heard of any of these. Cutty Sark, I guess, is like whiskey, I think.
Well, I've heard of Stoli.
I've heard of
I'm pretty
Stoli.
sure Stoli's a vodka.
Yeah, Stoli's a vodka.
But yeah, I've never heard of a Cutty Sark.
No, that's a whiskey or a scotch, I guess. And then they talk about a Vat 69. I have no idea what that is. But yes, anyway, Allie gets the order wrong. Lady gets very angry.
Yeah, pulls her by the collar. Like, not the collar of her shirt, like the collar that she's wearing. It's
You
like
know,
this
in
little.
her straight woman, totally normal waitress outfit.
Yeah, like a bejeweled dazzler collar, and pours the drink on her head. To Allison's credit, she doesn't fight back yet. She
No, she
takes it in
doesn't.
stride. That
And
about that time, we get little spoon size Barb steps in, lets Allison know, all right, I got the table. I can handle these.
yeah.
I'm used to players like this.
She starts making a few jokes about her height. What, yeah, they're not good jokes, but I'm sure she uses them all the time.
Yeah, shrimp cocktail, all the usual, what, first, second grade words for being a little kid.
Yeah. And then immediately they trip her for absolutely no reason.
Yeah,
And she says she's fine. And then they.
this is where it gets kind of like, oh, this is less fun.
Are you talking about when they whip a towel at her and she has the most pained reaction on her face I've ever seen in a comic book?
See, locker room fun in the locker room, but when you bring it out, less fun. When someone's on the ground just trying to do their job, even less fun than that.
Yeah. So she gathers up her tray and stands back up again and takes, you know, the abuse and walks away with her eyes looking in different directions and tears rolling down her face in a
Doesn't it?
very confusing image.
That made me feel bad for laughing at that image, but it's kind of fantastic.
Well,
Just
it's funny because it's not intentional. It's not meant to be like a woman with an eye condition or anything. It's just a bad drawing.
this sad smile looking at both sides of the street simultaneously.
Eyes are even on different levels. They're not even on the same level.
It's very reminiscent of Angel's I'm a genius
I'm a
face.
genius. It's out of control. And
So
then,
they start booing Joan Jett too.
yeah, they do. I think you mean Janet Jackson.
Yeah, excuse me. Yes.
Of course, how could I forget? Janet Jackson.
Punk rock Janet Jackson, yes.
And they just, yeah, they start booing Janet Jackson. She's getting angry. They start beating on Barb again. Janet's clearly getting very upset.
I'm also kind of wondering, it's like, what was the point of you all coming to this bar? And it was, later on, I was just like, oh, well, they just wanted to stir up more shit. They weren't done fighting at the roller derby match. They wanted more. They needed more action.
Yeah, they just suck. So they put spoon size. I feel bad calling her spoon size. They put Barb on a table.
Yeah, big 25 lifts her up.
Yeah.
Eat like both hands just pretty easily. And Barb kind of shook up at this point. What are you going to do? It's like, I can give you a hint, Barb.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they're going to try to catapult you off this table. I think one of them's going to hit one end of it really hard and send you flying.
But they don't.
Yeah.
They don't. That's not what happens. Instead, 25 gets up on the table as well, lifts Barb over her head, and just hurls her at Allie for no reason.
Yeah. Allison's had enough at this point. She's like, all right, come on. You don't deserve this. Let's walk away. Let's just walk away.
Let's go. This isn't worth it. At which point, 25 lunges off the table at Allie, fist forward. Yeah, and now Allie's angry.
Yeah, not so fast, my friend. Yeah, Allison quickly turns the table, uses her own momentum against her.
Goes to the ground. Street Fighter throw.
Yep, straight up Ryu Street Fighter throw, flings her across the bar, or flings her over her, and I guess puts her in some kind of hold because he starts twisting her arm.
Yeah.
And this sets off a massive all-female barroom brawl.
Huge brawl. Janet Jackson dives off the stage, microphone forward.
And we never see her again.
No, she's done now. She's just in the brawl.
It's really like most of what we see now is like Allison versus 15 rowdy buttholes.
Janet Jackson belongs to the fight now.
Yeah.
One woman calls the cops, and you know, two male cops just go like, "Women can't have a fight, okay, lady."
Yeah, a fight at all girls bar? You must be kidding me. I kind of wish that he kind of answered like the which issue was it? When Dazzler was trying to call for help. I think it was the Absorbing Man one where she called the cops.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, okay, young man. Oh, it was when she called the Avengers Mansion.
And yeah, and Jarvis was not having that prank call.
Yeah, Jarvis thought she was a little boy.
So then we just get like fight, but it's not like interesting fight. It's just like a lot of bodies.
Yeah, there is a, I guess, what do they always call it in like scrums? A sprawl of a mass of humanity.
Yeah.
Just tangled limbs all over the place, bodies on the floor, someone's pulling hair, shirts, someone gets smacked with a purse, which you had to have. Yeah.
Of course.
You had to have a girl smack someone else with a purse.
Got to.
Yeah. Dazzler crawls out of the rubble and cold clocks one woman who looks like a almost like a Russian mobster with a purple jumpsuit on.
Love it.
Purple tracksuit.
Yep.
Gets grabbed from behind.
It's so good.
Quick, beefy, punch her lamps out. And she bends over and uses the woman who's holding her to headbutt the other woman in the head with just the cartoon equivalent of taking two heads and smacking them together.
It's fantastic. And don't worry if you can't understand the description because it's hard to describe. I will post this panel because it's ridiculous.
Yeah. She uses the other woman as like a battering ram on her back.
Of course. As you do.
Yeah. And I love the way it closes. I love the way it closes with everybody sprawled out, broken guitar, just a mess. And who's the only one standing? Allison.
She pulls up Barb.
Yeah, she does pull up Barb.
And then she
robs
in,
one of the women.
she says she's doing it, and she's only taking the amount that she's owed for the bill. And then she quits her job, not having gotten the money for the rent or anything, but that problem is forgotten now. And she walks out and we're done.
Just not important. Take care of yourself. You too. So
And that's
unfortunately,
it.
we don't see Barb again, which was a
No.
drag. But yeah, that
And
was
that's
the
it.
adventure that was issue 35.
There's no tease for the next issue. I will tease it now because I've been waiting for it forever. It's Tatter Medallion, Tatterdemalion, Tatterdemalion. He is a homeless man who has modified his homeless gear to be assault weapons.
God, he is ridiculous.
He is my favorite, and he was not created for this comic. He is a character who came before.
I was grinning just about the whole issue
It
because he's
is my favorite.
absurd.
I love it.
I was, well, I wasn't surprised, but part of me was kind of surprised that he was a one and done villain. I was like, are we gonna see this guy again? Oh.
Nope, we need to get to the issue where Dazzler's friend is a computer now.
Yeah, that happens next. So yeah, these next three, four, I've read three more. These next three, I was like, okay,
It is a slog until we get to Archie Goodwin.
I was like, this is the goofiness that I've missed.
Once we, yeah, it is goofy. But once we get to Archie Goodwin, it actually gets really good. But that's it for this issue.
Yep, that is the issue 35. Thanks for listening to the Almost an X-Man podcast. As usual, you can always listen at your usual spots, your Spotify's, your Google Plays, your Apple Music's, all those spots.
And find us on Instagram, and we are at Dazzler Podcast. Hit us up with your ideas for what you want us to do next on the Almost Next Man podcast. We're almost out of Dazzler. Hit us up at Gmail, which is dazzlerpodcast@gmail.com. And that's it. We look forward to discussing Tatterdemalion next week. Until then, go for it.